There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered to him, "The Lord bless you." And Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. And Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your birth, and have come to the people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and full reward be given you by the Lord of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord. For you have comforted me and have spoken kindly of your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she arose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw that what she had gleaned, so she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back from what she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law whom she had worked, "The man's name whom I worked today is Boaz." Verse 20, then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "The man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth, the Moabitess, said, "He also said to me, 'You shall stay close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that the people do not meet you in any other field." So they stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Our setting in the book of Ruth is one where it was the time of the judges. And in the book of Judges, it says, when there was no king in Israel, and everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. It was a dark time indeed, and during these dark and difficult days, we read this story of Ruth that shines a great light into the nation and hopefully into our own hearts as well. It's a story of redemption, how God redeems wrong choices, and how God provides a redeemer for all of us. It's the story of how a young Moabite woman named Ruth marries a wealthy Israelite named Boaz, who is her kinsman redeemer. And they have a son named Jesse, who has a son named David, who becomes the greatest king that Israel would ever have. We further know that this story of Ruth leads on to the genealogy of none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we see the thread of redemption and of the grace of God working through this incredible story. Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, by the way, Elimelech, his name is interesting, isn't it? But Elimelech and his wife, Naomi, they had left Bethlehem and gone during a famine to the area of Moab. And when they get to Moab, and they're there for a while, and their two sons are with them, Chilion and Mahlon, and they marry two girls named Ruth and Orpah. And then Elimelech dies, and subsequently the two sons die, and so these three women are left to themselves. Naomi feels called to come back to Bethlehem. And so she starts to head back to Bethlehem, and as she does, she tells the two girls, go back to your homeland, go back to your people. And at first they resist, but after a while, Orpah gives up and she goes back, and Ruth, she refuses. Ruth realizes that she is called to be with Naomi. And more importantly, and most importantly, she takes the God of Israel as her God. Naomi had had an incredible impact on her life, and she became a follower of the true and living God. As we come to chapter 2, we see that we're introduced to a new character by the name of Boaz. Boaz's name means strengthened, and it's an appropriate name. He's a man of great character. What do we know about him? Well, he's a close relative of Naomi through her husband, Elimelech, and he's known to be the kinsman redeemer. As we see that term close relative, that's what that word is. It's kinsman redeemer or Goel. And there are many valuable things that a Goel carries out, but the most important of which, when a man would die and leave a widow, the Goel, the closest relative of that man, had a responsibility to marry that woman and then raise up a family, a descendant for and on behalf of the one who died. And so we'll get into that more next week as we look at that. But we also know him being a Goel, he also was a man of means. He was a man of great wealth, which would be another role that the Goel would take if, and as in the case of Elimelech, they had sold off their land. The land that was sold from one family to someone else could always be redeemed back by the closest relative if that closest relative had the wherewithal to do so. And this man, being a wealthy man, would have had that wherewithal also. Again, we'll study into that more next week. But he is the relative of Naomi. He's a man of means, but most importantly, Boaz is a man of God. I want you to notice in verse 4, it says, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Now, this is during a time in Israel when the moral forays of the day were not strong. People were not walking with the Lord. Everyone was doing that which was right in their own eyes. And yet, during this time, here is this landowner who comes to his reapers, his laborers, and when he sees them, he said, the Lord be with you. Imagine if you went to work tomorrow and your boss said, the Lord be with you. Now, if he does, you know the response. You're to say, the Lord bless you. Wouldn't you all be shocked if your boss said that to you tomorrow? But this man, he's a man of God who treats his employees with great grace and dignity. And his employees respect him and are kind to him. And we see later on, they obey him because they listen to what he says when he tells them, not to allow Ruth to glean in the fields and to even reap alongside them and to allow some of the extra grain, some of the grain to fall out of the bundles for Ruth. And they don't take advantage of Ruth for his sake. There's clearly a relationship between this man and his workers. But more than that, this man is not only one who's a man of God because he says, the Lord be with you, and he's got this relationship, but he's also obedient to the law of God. What do I mean? Well, there was a law that required that during the time of the harvest that they would not take of all the fields. They would only go through the fields one. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 24. Let me read it to you. It says, when you reap the harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for a stranger, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands when you beat your olives, your olive trees. You shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the vineyard. For you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. And then in Leviticus 19, it reassures the same thing. It says, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of the field, nor shall you gather the gleanings for your harvest. You shall not glean in your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. What a great welfare program. God said, you go through the fields, you only go through once. You leave everything else behind for the fatherless, the stranger, and the poor, which Ruth was all three of those things. She was fatherless in that she wasn't with her father. She was a stranger or a foreigner in a land. And imagine how that felt to be a foreigner in a land. If you've ever visited another country, being a foreigner, it is a little difficult, a little bit of a struggle. I remember just in traveling, even recently, going to the Philippines, you feel very, you know, sort of uncomfortable. And you're really blessed when someone makes you feel comfortable, and we're going to see that Boaz does that for her. But what a wonderful welfare program this is that God provides for his people. And notice that the provision is left for them, but they have to go and get it. It's not just a handout. Nobody delivers the food to them. They need to go and work in the field to provide for themselves, but the provision is laying there for them. All they need to do is go and get it. So we see in this, though, that Boaz is an obedient servant to the law of God, and he sets in motion, in being obedient, he sets in motion the will of God in his life and in the life of Naomi. Think about this for a moment. If Boaz had not been obedient, fully obedient to the Lord, if he had just gone through and gleaned the field over and over again, which he could have justified easily because there's been a famine in the land, and after all, we don't know if there's not going to be another famine, and we may need to store up more goods into the storehouse to make sure we're going to be okay in the future. So he could easily have logically justified going through the fields over and over and taking it all. And had he done that, he never would have met Ruth. And had he never met Ruth, he never would have been a part of the redemption story. I wonder, we can easily miss out on God's best plan for our lives if we don't fully obey him. Partial obedience is better than no obedience, but it's not as good as complete obedience. Boaz, being a man of God, he follows the law of God, and it results in the hand of God working in his life and in the life of Ruth. Now also, one other thing about Boaz is we're going to see he's a man of great kindness. And I'm going to save that. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes. But keep that in mind as we go through the story. And also keep in mind how Boaz, being a man of great kindness, is representative of our God, who is a God of great kindness. But let's jump over to Ruth and her character. We know that she's loyal. Having left her homeland and following after Naomi, we know that Naomi tried very hard to get Ruth to go home to her relatives. But Ruth refused because she believed the Lord had touched her life. She had shown this loyalty to be with him and a servant in Naomi. And what we see is that she saw that it was more valuable than to go back to Moab to be with her. She basically said, my home is wherever you go. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. And I'm going to die in the same place that you're going to die. And the greatest thing she said, we know, as we've mentioned already, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. I'm converting. I'm following the God of the universe now. And this is the greatest change that takes place in Ruth's life. She said, I want your faith. I want your God. I want the God of the universe in my life. And if you're here today, maybe somebody invited you. Maybe your mom dragged you here today. What can I give you for Mother's Day? And your mom said, come to church with me. So here you are. Can I tell you that the most important thing you can do with your life is to give your life to Jesus Christ, to make the God of the Bible your God, and to follow him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he will change your life from the inside out. He will give you abundant life. He'll give you a life like no other. And that's available to every one of us today if you'll open your heart to him. But not only was Ruth a loyal woman, but she also was a very industrious woman. Look at verse 2 with me. She says to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she says, go, my daughter. In verse 3, she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. She's willing to go to work. She's industrious. She doesn't sit and wait for some blessing to fall out of the sky. You know, I fear sometimes people say and use the term, they say, well, I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord to do something. I'm waiting on the Lord. You know, maybe the Lord just wants you to get moving and then he'll show you. And I believe that in many cases. And many times people who have a life-changing event, and Ruth has had several life-changing events. She's had the death of her father-in-law. She's had the death of her husband. She's had moving into another nation. These are very major stressors, as people like to say. You know, some of the highest stressors people go through in their life. They say the highest is the death of a spouse. The next, a death of a child. Now, we know Naomi's been through that. Ruth has been through the death of a spouse. Another high stressor is moving into a new location. And when you have several of those things going on at one time, you know, you have every reason, in a sense, to be depressed. And that's sort of where Naomi is. Naomi is sort of just depressed. She's just, well, you know, okay, you go reap. You go do some gleaning. I can't really be gleaning right now. I'm too bummed out. And maybe even Naomi was too old. We don't know. But Ruth is one who, she's industrious. She's willing to go out and work the corners of the field to eat. Look, I'll take even just the corners of the field, she says. I'll take the leftovers. I'll take anything I can get my hands on. Whatever the Lord will give me, I'll take it. She's hungry. She's desiring. She needs to eat. She's hungry. And sometimes we get into a place, and maybe you came from a church or a background or some place where, you know, you were abundant. Things were abundant for you. And now you're kind of like, I'm just sort of down. I'm bummed. I'm hurting. And the Lord says, well, listen, just come and take of the corners of the field. Just take what provision I give you. Just take whatever I offer you. You know, on a human level, we live in such an entitlement society. You know, this is why Bernie Sanders has become so popular, because he tells everybody, look, just elect me and I'll give you whatever you want. You want free health care? I'll give it to you. You want free, you know, free college education? No problem. We'll give that to you too. I have a little hint for you. Somebody has to pay for it. But not to get political with that. The point is this. Ruth was not an entitlement person. She realized, listen, let me go to work. Let me go out and do something for myself to see. And who knows how God might bless me if I will just step out in faith, if I'll just step out and do what God has put before me. She knew she should work to eat, and she's a hard worker. Notice verse 7, it says she gleaned after the reapers among the sheaves. She came and continued from morning until now, working from the morning into the heat of the day. It was hard work indeed. And notice her way of talking. She says, let me now go in verse 2. Let me now glean in verse 7. In verse 13, let me now find favor in your eyes. Ruth is willing to take hold of what little she could find of God's favor and grace. And that was in the corners of the fields. That was in the leftovers. That was just to glean some grain and at least be able to provide a meal for her and Naomi. That's her heart. Let me just get what I can. Let me do what I can. You know, whenever you're in a tragic situation or you're in a difficult situation, God will make a provision for you. He makes a provision for something in us if we'll just take the steps and look for it. It may mean getting out of your home world and getting out into the field, so to speak. Taking a step of faith and taking a look around and seeing, where is God providing this? And sometimes, and even when we've had the death of a loved one in our lives, the hope that we find is the hope that they're in heaven with Jesus. I know for me, even right now, my mom a few years ago went home to be with the Lord. So Mother's Day, I couldn't help but think of that. My wife this morning was a bit emotional thinking about the loss of her mom a few years ago. But you know what we hold on to? We hold on to the hope of heaven. We hold on to the fact that we're going to see them again one day. And when you're in that place and you're down about something or even experiencing perhaps some great illness in your own life, the same thing. And even if you're struggling for your next meal, so to speak, and rarely is that true in America, but we should know that God doesn't allow his children to beg bread. He provides for us. God's people will find provision along the life's road. As we're serving, as we're doing what we can in this life, as we're doing what God calls us to do, I believe that Ruth had a calling in a sense to know, I should get out into the field. She had a sense of God's call in this. And we need to realize that as we do what we know God's called us to do, God will show up. And God then can redirect your life and can guide your life as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, as you're busy. You know, Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Do you know that wording there really is, as you are going through the world, preach the gospel? As you're going, we are to be a going people. Idleness is not good for us. Even my nuns, when I was growing up, told me that. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Didn't you know that? Sister Stephanie used to tell me when she had her ruler chasing us around the room. Some of you have lived that, right? But we know that Moses, while he was still a shepherd, he was on the backside of the wilderness. He was working as a shepherd, and that's when the burning bush appeared and spoke. David, while he was tending sheep, he was called. Jesus called his disciples while they were mending their nets and fishing. He called Levi out of the tax office while he was serving, while he was working. You see, it's much easier for God to move if you're already moving. Then I want you to think about this also. That just as Boaz needed to obey the law of God in order to meet Ruth, Ruth needed to go to the field in order to meet Boaz. If Ruth never goes to the field, she never meets Boaz, and she's never part of the redemption story either. But the wonderful thing is that when they do obey and they do what God wants them to do, they walk in the Spirit, so to speak. And this is what we're called to do, is walk in the Spirit. And you know, many times we don't know when we step out and we do what God tells us and it seems like we're being led by the Lord, we're just doing what God's leading us to do, we don't know until we look back on it what God really was doing. You know, many times in my life, I'm like, well, I'm just doing what the Lord wants. And then I look back and I go, wow, look at that. But God had something greater in mind. And God has great things in mind and great things in store for us if we will just step out, if we will just do his will. And notice, really, it's God who's orchestrating this whole thing. Look at verse 3. It says, when she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and I think the Holy Spirit's giving us a little bit of divine humor here when he says, and she happened to come to the part of the field that belongs to Boaz. She happened to. And verse 4 tells us, and Boaz came from Bethlehem. Boaz happened to come when Ruth happened to be in the field. And I happen to think God was in the whole thing. And as they come, we see this incredible kindness. And this is what I want to come back to now, this character of Boaz. Look at the kindness that Boaz shows her. He asks who she is. He's told that she's the Moabite woman who came with Naomi. And in verse 8, he says to her, he says to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter. Notice that. He calls her my daughter, which indicates two things. First of all, it indicates an affection, and it's a very affectionate term he's using, but it also indicates that he's likely significantly older than she is. And he says, listen, will you not? Do not glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. I want to protect you, he says. And let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch me? And here, look at this. And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. You got to understand that in that culture, in that time, water was so, so precious. And if you were working as a gleaner in the field for the day, you had to carry a significant amount of water with you just so you wouldn't get dehydrated for the day. And Boaz is basically saying, you don't worry about the water. I'll take care of the water for you. I will pour out water to you. I will bless you. Are you thirsty? Come to me and drink, he's saying. And you see the picture forming here, the type we see of our Lord Jesus and the wonderful kindness he shows towards us. Just as Boaz does to her, he says, you come and you drink. And Jesus says to us, you come and drink of the waters that I will give you, living waters that I will give you. And out of your heart, out of your innermost being will flow torrents of living water because of this water that's filled your life. I'm going to give you a water that you've never had before. It's a water that so that you will never thirst again, Jesus says. Maybe you're here today and you're thirsty. You're thirsty for something new in your life. You're thirsty for, you have some great deep need in your life. Let me tell you, the answer to that need is Jesus Christ. The answer to that need is the work of the Spirit in your life. As you yield to him, this kindness that he shows. Boaz goes out of his way to be extra kind to her. The provision of God's grace is seen in this record. And this causes Naomi, who remember, Naomi had left coming back, and she said, don't call me Naomi in chapter 1. She said, call me Mara. The name Naomi means pleasantness. Don't call me pleasantness. Mara means bitterness. Don't call me pleasantness. Call me bitterness. For the Lord has been against me. And my husband is dead. My sons are dead. I went out full and I've come back empty. Now her attitude when she went out was that she was empty. But then now she's thinking, I'm really empty. She didn't realize what she had when she left. She says, I went out full and I've come back empty. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. She's bitter. She's frustrated. But this kind of blessing and this kind of grace that's poured out on her daughter-in-law, this extra grace, this wonder, she comes home, verse 19, look what it says. She asks where she was gleaned today and she notices how much she took. And by the way, Ruth comes home with about 40 pounds of grain. Barely able to carry it. And when she gets home with this, she told her mother-in-law, the man's name with whom I worked today was Boaz. Naomi says, man, blessed be the Lord. This is the first time we see in this story that Naomi's got any joy. Blessed be the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and to the dead. This man is a relation of ours. He's one of our close relatives. He's our Goel. He's our kinsman redeemer, she says. She says, it's good, my daughter, verse 22, that you do not go to any other field and stay by the young women. See, Naomi could see God's love and provision for her because of her bitter experience. She had so much trouble, but now she sees it. She couldn't see it, but now she sees it. She sees that God is still with her. God is coming through for her. God is blessing her. And listen, if you are in a place of bitterness, you just need to come to the well. You need to realize the blessing of the Lord in your life. Realize all that he's done for you. And when you open your eyes, like Naomi opened her eyes to the blessing of God, and all it took was her carrying a bunch of grain back. Imagine that. And when she came back with that grain, her eyes were open to the blessings of God. Sometimes we can get so wrapped up in our little worlds, we can get so consumed by our little life that we miss the wonderful blessings that God has already bestowed on us. Blessed be the Lord. Can you say that today? Can you say, regardless of what hurt and pain and suffering and struggle you may be going through, can you say, blessed be the Lord? Can I say to you, if you can't, you need to take that step of faith and say it and believe it. Blessed be the Lord today. God is behind this whole story, and he's working in the kindness of Boaz, and he's showing his kindness to them through this man, Boaz. And we also see within this the incredible humility of Ruth. What a humble servant she is. In verse 3, when he speaks to her, she falls on her face and she says, "Why?" She bows to the ground and says, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" You know, again, being a foreigner in a foreign land, of course, she's in a foreign land, she's a foreigner, but you know what I mean. Being in a foreign land, you know, feeling lost, feeling, you know, out of place, uncomfortable. And she realizes that what he's doing for her, and instead of being proud about it, she's humble. You know, we're never more like Jesus than when we practice humility. You know, so often in this world these days, we think that asserting ourselves, and we're even told this, just assert yourself, assert your rights. But I have found that humility is the way toward healing in many cases. It brings peace between people. It can restore relationships. One of the best things you can do if you're having a struggle in a relationship is to humble yourself and confess your own faults. And then God can do a work. It's the best approach you can have during conflict, I believe. Always asking ourselves, "Lord, okay, what part in this am I playing?" And sometimes it's hard because sometimes you may not feel like you're playing a very big part. Sometimes the other person may be the one who really is causing more of the issue. But you know what I find? I can always find some area in my life. There's always something to confess, even if it's only as a reaction to the way they may have treated me. And I find that that kind of humility brings openness and peace in many cases. Here we see Ruth. She's simply humble because she has shown favor. And let me tell you, when the grace of God is poured out on your life, I don't know about you, but it humbles me. I am humbled by the church and the growth of the church and the grace of God being poured out. I'm humbled when I go to the township and 200 people show up and the township opens the door for a prayer meeting for us. I fall on my face, I fall on my knees, I say, "God, how can you be so good to me?" Because we all know ourselves, right? See, that's why Ruth is able to do this. She's able to look at her own life and realize, you know, I don't deserve this. I'm just a Moabite woman. I'm not even an Israelite. I'm not even one of your servants. I'm not even one of your maidservants. And look at the way you're treating me. But isn't that just like the Lord? Isn't that just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? He treats us so well even though we don't deserve it. And that's what grace is all about. She doesn't deserve this. None of us deserve it. The grace of God. God shows her favor in bringing her to the field, to her relative, to her kinsman redeemer. And he doesn't treat her like a slave. Again, he gives her water to drink. He blesses her with that. And I think of that water and how it's so incredible that we are given spiritual satisfaction of the thirst that we have. Listen to this quote by Tim Keller. "It was because Jesus Christ experienced cosmic thirst on the cross that you and I can have our spiritual thirst satisfied." I could say amen to that. And he makes sure that she's protected because she's under the shadow of his wings. Look at verses 11 and 12. Boaz says, "It has been fully reported to me that all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and have come to the people whom you now, who you did not know before, the Lord repay your work and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Boaz says, "I know what you've done. I know the commitment you made to Naomi, and it hasn't gone unnoticed, and the commitment to God. And since you've come under the wings of the great covering of our God, the God of the Bible, you will be safe." And the thing is, it can look like as you're reading this that she got favor from the Lord because she was good to Naomi, because she treated Naomi well and so on. But that's not why she got the favor of the Lord. No, she got the favor of the Lord because she came under the covering of his wings. Do you understand that the grace of God is simply his grace because you've come under the covering of his wings? Simply because you became a Christian, he pours out his grace on you. You stepped under the covering of his wings. You know, Jesus prayed this for his land in Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets. Oh, how I desired to take you under my wings like a mother hen takes her chicks, but you would not. But we have. The church has come under the wings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he covers us. He covers us in his blood. He covers us in his wings. And when we are under that covering, we receive the favor of God. She's a child of God, and that's who finds favor with God, is a child of God. When we put our trust in Jesus Christ, he sheds his grace upon our life. And not only does she find favor and provision with the water that's given to her, but notice verse 14, Boaz says, at mealtime, come and eat of the bread and dip in the piece of bread of the vinegar. Now, this word vinegar here is not just vinegar. It's the idea of that real high-quality olive oil. You know how you go to a really good Italian restaurant, and they give you a little bowl of olive oil, and they sometimes you pour some balsamic vinegar in there, and then you take that really good, crusty Italian bread, and you dip it in there. I know it's almost lunchtime. I'm getting to you guys right now. Sometimes you even put some little garlic in there and maybe a little bit of Parmesan cheese. My mouth is watering, huh? But that's the picture here that we get, is of this incredible, wonderful dipping sauce that he's providing for her. And he's saying, you know, you eat at my table. You are welcome to my table, is what he's saying. You're not a slave. You're my daughter. You're my relative. I love you. And though we may enter the kingdom feeling like we're low-life slaves, the Lord says, no, 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 come up to the table. And one day we're going to sit at a banqueting table with him, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I don't know what they're serving that day, but it's going to be great. I'm looking for some of that crusty Italian bread. And no calories. No carbs, no calories, everything's free that day. You know how you go on a diet and you get a free day? That's going to be a free meal. That's going to be a free life. No more. I don't think there's going to be more calories. That's my theory. I'm sticking to it. Look how Boaz has blessed her. Look at verse 15. When she rose up, Boaz commanded his young men, let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. You see, she's been gleaning. But now he's even saying, you can do more than glean. You can even reap with the reapers. You can go right alongside, just right behind. You see, the reapers would go through, and they were allowed to go through, and the gleaners were not allowed to go into the field until the reapers went through the field. But he's saying to Ruth, no, no, no. You go right in the field, right behind them. You get the best of the leftovers. You get first choice. Look how good he's being to her. Even better, look at verse 16. And let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her. He says, let me even give her a little extra. Bundles of purpose. You know, that's what happens in our lives when we begin to really follow the Lord. We begin to trust in the Lord. We get bundles of purpose. And it just kind of falls out on us. You know, this is the idea of the work of the Spirit in our life, is it's an overflowing thing. It just flows out of us as torrents of living water. You can't help it flow out. And you see the bundles of purpose here in her life. And she is receiving exceedingly abundantly above all that she could ask or think. And that's the wonderful thing about the restoration work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The wonderful restorative work of our God is here he takes this Moabite girl whose husband died, whose father-in-law died, who seemed lost, who seemed like there was no answer, and all she did was say, okay, I'll go glean in the field. I'll go do what I can. I'll look for the provision that I can get. And she receives so far more than she could ever imagine that she would ever get. And can I tell you something? When you step out, when you say, Lord, I want, I want to just take a little bit, Lord. Let me just take a single little step of faith. Lord says, oh, I love it. Let me pour out on you so far more than you could ever imagine because of how much I love you, because of how good you are to me. He loves us so much. Boaz was a man who, because of his obedience to the Lord, he met his bride, and he carried out the will of God. And he's a picture for us of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. He's a man of God. He's a man of means. He's a man of great character and kindness. And the kindness of God is what draws us to repentance. Let me read you this quote from John Piper's commentary on the book of Ruth. The Lord's kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead. It was the Lord who stopped the famine. It was the Lord who bound Ruth to Naomi in love. It was the Lord who preserved Boaz for Ruth. Ruth did not just happen to come to Boaz's field. The light of God's love has finally broken through bright enough for Naomi to see. The Lord is kind. He is good to all who take refuge under his wings. So let us fall on our faces before the Lord. Confess our unworthiness, take refuge under the wings of God, and be astonished by his grace.